Good morning, brothers and sisters. On this great solemnity of Pentecost, we call it Pentecost, of course, because Penta means 50, and today is 50 days after the resurrection of our Lord. This is the day on which our Lord chose to send the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and the Virgin Mary in the upper room. In our first reading, we heard of this encounter. They were there in prayer, still somewhat fearful of going out in public and preaching the gospel. Our Lord had spent 40 days with them before he ascended into heaven, but the Spirit had not yet been sent. So here they are in prayer, and suddenly this great wind comes blowing through the house. Even people outside hear it, and then tongues of fire just appear out of nowhere and come to rest on their heads. And this is the sign of the outpouring of the Spirit. And in that moment, being filled with the Holy Spirit, they start proclaiming the gospel. They haven't even gotten outside yet. They're already proclaiming the gospel and proclaiming the glory of God and the great things he has done in his son, Jesus Christ. But then they fearlessly go outside and continue to proclaim. And the first miracle of Pentecost is, of course, their ability to speak, or at least to be understood in all of the native languages of the people who heard them. Now, the fathers of the church tell us that this miracle was necessary because it was prefiguring the growth and extension of the church throughout the world. If you think about it, each one of us who are filled with the Holy Spirit and by that made a member of the body of Christ actually, in a mystical sense, speak every known language because there are Catholics all over the world proclaiming the gospel in native languages, and we're members of one body. And so even here at the very beginning of the church, this future truth was being proclaimed through the power of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean it doesn't actually still happen to this day. I have a priest friend of mine who travels throughout the world giving talks, usually on the Blessed Mother. Actually, most of you would know him, Father Don Calloway. So he wrote that book on consecration to St. Joseph recently. But years and years ago, he was giving a talk on the Blessed Mother in Czechoslovakia. And he would obviously have an interpreter. He doesn't speak the native language, but they never showed up. And there were hundreds of people gathered to listen. So he thought, well, I'll just give the talk, say a prayer to the Blessed Mother, and hope it all works out. Well, after the talk, people kept coming up to him and thanking him, and they were really surprised that this American guy knew their language. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I only speak English. I gave the talk in English. And they were like, no, you didn't. Again, that's the Holy Spirit. So that power that he manifested 2,000 years ago obviously is still at work in the church. But it's even mystically manifested in the fact that the church speaks every known language. The body of Christ extends over the whole world. But there's also, I think, a deeper interpretation that we can take from this specific passage, because the power of the Holy Spirit to teach us, in a sense, a universal language, is true regardless of what particular language you may speak. And may sound a little campy, but it's the language of love. Isn't that the heart of the gospel message? Isn't that the reason we receive the Holy Spirit, not only for the forgiveness of our sins, but to be conformed to Christ, who is love incarnate? And if we can learn to speak that language of love, then we don't need to speak the verbal language of someone. We'll communicate the love of Christ, the gospel message to them, regardless of any problems communicating. So it's precisely this language of love that the Holy Spirit wants to teach each one of us and why we need him so much. Without him, we cannot love like this. Our love will always be weak, and it will always be self-centered, and it will always fail without the Holy Spirit. You can't love like God unless God is in you. So this greatest gift of God, the third person of the Blessed Trinity dwelling in us, gives us his special gifts, his power to help us to love, to speak that universal divine language. But we struggle with this, even as Christians, don't we? We struggle with love. And why do we struggle so much with love when we know it's how God loves us, and we know it's how we're supposed to love our neighbor. It's because usually, in our relationships with other people, we're focused on the wrong aspect, the wrong thing. And I want to read to you a passage from Ephesians, St. Paul's letter, where he specifies the type of battle that Christians engage in. So this is Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, he says, draw your strength from the Lord and from his mighty power. Of course, the power of God is the Holy Spirit. He says, put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and with powers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. Therefore, put on the armor of God, that you may be able to resist on the day of evil, having done everything to hold your ground. So stand fast with your loins girded in truth, clothed with righteousness as a breastplate, and your feet shod in readiness for the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, hold faith as a shield to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's really beautiful imagery that St. Paul gives us, this idea of putting on armor as a Christian in the Spirit to fight against our enemy. But who does he say specifically are our enemies? Is it our spouse, our children, co-workers, bosses, politicians, those people who won't get out of the left-hand lane on the highway when they're driving too slow? Are they our enemies? It may feel like it at times, and I think when we fail to love these individuals, in our mind, we actually believe they are our enemy. That's our mistake. But St. Paul tells us who our enemies are. They are the devil and the evil spirits. And he specifically mentions those. He says the principalities and the powers, those are two of the choirs of angels, the evil spirits, obviously the devil, who's the prince of them all, and the rulers of this present darkness, the world rulers of this present darkness. He doesn't mean the human rulers. He's talking about the demonic ones. St. Paul is letting us know that to follow the Spirit, to learn to speak that universal language of love, which is ultimately the perfect way to preach the gospel, you must do battle against those who are trying to stop you. And it's never another human per se. That's merely an instrument. It's always the evil spirits. And so the armor of God is meant to help us fight evil spirits. It's one of the great lies of the devil and of his demons to convince the world that they don't exist, because then you won't fight them. Then you will just blame your neighbor for why you're not loving. And that's the common thing that we all do, right? I would be a much more patient and loving person if they had not, or if they would just, and you fill in the blank of whatever situation you find yourself in. It's so common for us to do this, to blame others for our lack of love. And it's never their fault. It's never anyone else's fault. Why? Because Jesus loved even in the midst of very bad people who did nothing but reject him and torture him and kill him. You think you have an excuse. You think, and I'm preaching to myself as well, but do you think we have an excuse when we die and go before the judgment seat of God? We say, but Lord, I would have been so much more loving, but you know, so-and-so just, they would not shut up. He's like, well, I told you to love, and I gave you the Holy Spirit. You should have loved anyway. And we will be judged accordingly. There will be no excuses at our judgment before the throne of God. And so don't fall into this mistake. Know who you are battling. So when you're driving on the highway like I do, and when that person just won't move over when they can. It's not even like there isn't enough room. And they're driving the speed limit. They're not even going over. I mean, it's just... Instead of getting angry at them, yes, they may be frustrating you in that moment. Instead of getting angry at them, you realize in the moment the demon tempting you to judgment and hatred. That's the one you must battle. And you do that with the armor of God. So I want to read that to you again. St. Paul points out to us what are these tools that we need to use that help us in this spiritual battle. So your loins are girded in truth. You need to know the truth. So if you find yourself ever failing to love, it means you believe a lie. Something is wrong in your mind. You don't know what the truth is. If what you believe is leading you to sin, then obviously it's wrong. So you need the truth to gird you in order to protect you from any lies. You should wear righteousness as a breastplate. Obviously, these large armored men in the Middle Ages who would fight, they would have these big breastplates in case they would get stabbed in the chest or shot with an arrow or something. And what does Paul say this is? It's righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? It means that you are right in the presence of God. You obey his commandments. So that's the great struggle for each one of us. Am I obeying the commandments of the Lord? I can't blame my neighbor when I'm failing to do so. So I need to strive for that continual growth in virtue and obedience to God. My feet must be shod in readiness for the gospel of peace. So the gospel of Christ, since he is the Prince of Peace, is a gospel of peace, which means we, following Jesus, are always striving to bring peace wherever we go. Those are the shoes that we wear. But it's the peace of Christ, not the peace of the world. Right? The peace of the world says, let's everybody get along. You can believe your truth, I'll believe my truth, and we'll all just not avoid causing pain or suffering. No, that's not the gospel of truth. It's the truth of Jesus Christ that brings peace. Only the Prince of Peace can establish that peace in the world. And yet everywhere we go, if we're bringing the gospel message, that gospel truth, then we will be seeking to be men and women of peace. And we'll be willing, like Christ, to suffer to bring about that peace. In all circumstances, he tells us, hold faith as a shield. I like this analogy. It's very beautiful. Hold faith as a shield. So the devil is going to be shooting, not your human enemies, the devil is going to be shooting flaming arrows at you. And you need faith to block those. What is faith? Faith is a conviction of belief in the gospel message, the truths that have been revealed to us and taught to us. So if I hold those truths in my mind, then when the devil shoots at me, he's not shooting at my heart, he's shooting at my head. He's trying to deceive me with his lies because he's a liar from the beginning. Then I can deflect his lies with faith, with faith. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, into battle. So the helmet of salvation is our, related to faith, it's our confidence in Jesus Christ, that he has the power to save us. That even if we sin, even if we turn from him and from grace, we can come back, we can go to confession, we can repent of our sins, and our salvation is assured in Jesus, in his church. That kind of assurance can help give you peace, help strengthen your faith. And then the sword, if you really want to do spiritual battle in your own life and in the lives of others, you need the word of God. The scriptures say it is a two-edged sword. It's double sharp. And it can cut through marrow and bone. That's how sharp it is. It doesn't just cut flesh. It cuts to the heart of things. That's the power of the word of God. And the better we know the word of God, we pray and meditate upon it, the greater our ability to wield that sword will be in our daily spiritual battles. So this is our goal. This is our responsibility to stop trying to fight all of the other humans in the world. They may be, at times, tools of the demons, certainly. But they're not our enemy. It's the principalities and the powers, the rulers of this world's current darkness. That's what we fight. And we have to keep this in mind and realize we never have an excuse to sin, because God has given us of his Spirit and empowered us to love not just our neighbor, but even our enemies. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.